Coaching Session 19. Leadership isn't just for leaders. We've got to get over ourselves. Our title doesn't miraculously imbue us with skills, merely gives us a degree of authority that others in our organization may lack. It puts us higher up the food chain. What is leadership? In a world filled with experts and gurus, it's a tough question, and it's one I'd suggest that you spend some time with so that you can distill it down to words that are meaningful for you and your team. For me, it begins with the first statement of today's session. Leadership isn't just for leaders. Truth is, anybody can perform an act of leadership. So that's what I mean when I say it's not just for leaders. And so is a person a leader who performs an act of leadership? No, not necessarily. Because frankly, anybody can perform an act of leadership, and these acts can be random or they can be consistent. You know, sometimes the person with the leadership title rarely performs an act of leadership. I mean, how can you explain that if you're tethering acts of leadership with leaders? The guy on the shop floor who is earning minimum wage, he sees a problem, and in an instant, he takes ownership and he steps outside of his job, quote unquote, to do something about it. All because he sees a problem, feels like he has the ability to do something about it, and he feels safe enough, and that's really important. He feels safe enough based on the culture and the environment to take action. He's still a minimum wage worker, but he's just completed an act of leadership. You want your people to commit these acts of leadership. You want them to happen randomly, and you want them to happen consistently too. And the truth is, you'll take them as often as you can get them. Well, you will if you're a good leader. I'm telling you, you can get them more often. It's something that you can influence, and shame on you if you don't. Leadership encompasses a lot of facets that go far beyond a short virtual coaching session like this one. But again, once more, I'm hoping to provoke more thought, and I'm hoping to provoke some ideas. We've all heard those mythical stories of outstanding service and remarkable incidents. I mean, there's that famous story of the Nordstrom retail clerk who issued a refund to a person who returned an item that Nordstrom doesn't even sell. I think it was a set of tires, and they don't even sell tires. Or the FedEx guy up in Alaska, I think it was, who wasn't able to get a delivery made to some rural location because of all the snowfall, and so he hired a helicopter to help him. Are such stories true? I don't know, but they're written in books, magazines, and we love to hear them. We love to retell them because they're extraordinary. I mean, some would call them heroic. And there's a problem with them. You can't run a business that way. FedEx cannot sustain their business if their drivers go around hiring helicopters every time they encounter an impossible delivery. Nordstrom will not survive if they honor refunds to every customer who comes into their stores to return merchandise that wasn't even purchased at Nordstrom's. Can these things happen once in a while? Yeah, absolutely. Should they? Sure. You've likely experienced it. Have you ever been in a fast food place or maybe the drive-thru or even in a sit-down restaurant and you had a problem and it resulted in some kind of a freebie? Maybe you got the whole meal comped. Maybe the whole thing was free. Maybe they gave you a free dessert. It happens, and it's happened to nearly all of us every now and then. Doesn't happen all the time, though. Don't expect to drive through any fast food joint, and if they keep you waiting just a tad too long, they're going to give you your meal free. Doesn't happen that way. An act of leadership is doing what must be done in real time. Anybody can do this. I mean, some businesses build it right in. Many years ago, I worked for Mitsubishi Electronics. I was on the road quite a lot. Kansas City was part of my territory, and I had a favorite restaurant there called Houston's. Oddly enough, you leave Texas and you go to Kansas and eat at a place called Houston's. Well, I was in Kansas City at least three times a month, and I would eat at Houston's every single time. In fact, some cases I'd eat there multiple times while I was there because, well, the food was great. The atmosphere was really nice and conducive. I could spread out my work. But the service was even better. All the servers wore white starched shirts and black ties, men and women. They were polite, they were prompt. Okay, not unlike other successful restaurants. Houston's had a different culture, though, a different expectation, a different training regime, because I happened to be there so frequently, I sometimes would see new trainees come and be onboarded. I'd get there early, right at the beginning of lunch, let's say at 11 o'clock, and sometimes I'd catch a new group in some far corner of the restaurant being trained, and I'd watch. Servers were trained to take care of drink orders at all tables. If a server took a pitcher of iced tea to her table and noticed another table with guests needing iced tea, she'd approach that table and ask if she could refill their glasses. Have you ever wondered why that server with a pitcher of your drink of choice, water, tea, maybe coffee, walked past your empty glass or cup just because you weren't their table? Well, I'm guessing the Houston's executives, they wondered the very same thing. Seeing a need, filling that need, in the case of Houston's, literally filling your glass or your cup, just because you can. Now, it could be argued that Houston's created an atmosphere conducive for acts of leadership like that. My past experience there, well, okay, it confirms that. And others would argue, well, that's not leadership, that's a process. I don't agree. You know, it's absolutely an act of leadership when a Chili's server does it. I mean, it's not part of their process at all. In fact, in my experience, it's not ordinary. In fact, I can't tell you the last time it ever happened to me at a Chili's. An act of leadership is the opposite of, it's not my job. Servers at Houston's, they're not leaders. They're servers. And yet they're committing acts of leadership. You can go one of two ways. You, Mr. Executive, you can go one of two ways. Number one, you can create an atmosphere that fuels acts of leadership. Number two, you can hire people who will perform acts of leadership. I'm going to encourage you to do both, but I'm going to tell you, rely on the first one. Create an atmosphere that fuels acts of leadership or fosters them. Too many organizations say they need to find better people. When better people isn't necessarily what they need better processes and systems. They need a better atmosphere that won't stifle somebody's desire to commit an act of leadership. The boss who wishes he had better people can sometimes be found upbraiding an employee for doing something that they had no quote-unquote right to do. You didn't have any right to make that decision, they may upbraid them with. And then they wonder why their people won't take care of an apparent problem. Well, listen, when you berate an employee for stepping outside the bounds of their job, okay, then don't get angry at them when they refuse to do it. Don't get angry at them when they refuse to do anything beyond their job. Every executive wants their people to just do what needs to be done. I can't tell you how many times I hear that. At least that's what they say. I just wish my people would just do what needs to be done. I just wish I could get the word I hear most often is proactive. I wish my people would be more proactive. Some micromanaging executives, though, they don't want that. They really don't want that because what they want to do is they want to be the conduit for all activities, all actions, all decisions. They want to serve kind of as that switching station where everything must go through them. Do not be that guy or gal. Now, I'm going to be providing with some things that you can do to help your people do what needs to be done, even if they're not supervisors or so-called leaders. Your organization or department will be improved when you can foster as many acts of leadership as possible, where people are unafraid to take initiative. And that's where you come in. Because you can make that happen. And I don't care if you're running a small department or a small division within the context of a much bigger enterprise. I don't care if you own the joint. I don't care if your team consists of just one other person Or if you've got hundreds of people, you can make the work more productive, and you can make it more rewarding for your people too, by providing an atmosphere that will foster more and better acts of leadership up and down the chain. I won't dive into too much more today, but after the next intermission, we will dive more deeply into some of the things that you can do to foster more acts of leadership. It's a big topic. It deserves a big chunk of time, and we'll give it some time, but we got a few other things to do first. Talk to you soon.